Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord, children of the Most High God. Welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom of God Ministries. We have a blessed and anointed pastor on tonight, Pastor Gary Price of Omega Ministries. He's going to be talking about his book, The Jesus Cult. But before we go any further, we're going to open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we lift up the listening audience up to you, Father God, and we ask that you touch their minds, their ears, and their hearts, Father, that they will receive the word of God, that revelation will be made to them by and through your word. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every hindering spirit. We come against every spirit of confusion. We bind that spirit up. And we block its assignment. We cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And to everyone that is suffering with any type of affliction, we come against that. We speak healing right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Anyone that's suffering with any type of depression or oppression of the enemy, of the devil, We bind it up and we cast that thing off of them right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We lift up our brother Gary Price, that the word of God would flow through him freely and that the Holy Ghost would speak through him as he wills in Jesus' name. So, Father God, we thank you for everything that you will do on tonight. We ask that you bless the listening audience on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. All right, Brother Price.
Hey, Pastor Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. Doing good. We're in the process of talking about your book, The Jesus Cult, and I had a question I want to ask you in reference to that. How did you come about that title, The Jesus Cult?
Well, it's pretty simple. I came to the fruition after studying the Bible for years that very few Christians realize that the Bible actually reveals to us that there are two Jesuses.
Yes.
There's not just one Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that most Christians, and they're very shocked by it, because most people believe, well, you know, I must be a nut because there's only one Jesus. But that's not what the Bible teaches.
That's right.
If you take a careful look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 3, you find these words.
Mm-hmm.
But I fear that by any means, if the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Yes.
For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached,
yes,
or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So you see there now, the word another lets us know there has to be at least two of anything that we're talking about here.
Yes.
He talks about another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit.
Yes.
So here's how it works out. If you receive the other Jesus, after having heard the wrong gospel, that other Jesus will impart to you another spirit that's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit, and that's the very essence of deception.
That's right.
So this whole thing is about what Jesus are you worshiping, and have you received the right one?
That's right. You're right, brother. You're so right. And there's something that you would say that, because we have done some studies, and we have found out that there is, of everything that is God's, that is genuine, there is a fake and a false. That is just false. Now there is a spirit out there that it's a fake Holy Ghost. It's a fraud Holy Ghost. And this thing, when it comes upon people, it causes a whole lot of chaos in that person's life. And just as you said earlier, but it's a devil. It's a demon. And it deals with that person's mind, and not only does it deal with that person's mind, but it affects their body also, and it causes a lot of pain, a lot of sickness, a whole lot of trouble. And people have to be careful of that, because once they – and another thing about these false spirits that come upon people, and what a lot of people need to know, especially in the body of Christ, when they receive these false spirits on them, they're very difficult to get delivered from them. It's best not to even receive them in the first place. But as you said earlier, if you don't know, you're ignorant.
You're a victim at that point, because if we look at it carefully, the most hideous and most entrenched demonic possession comes from religious spirits.
Yes.
A religious spirit is not like any other spirit, because it deals with your belief system.
Yes.
It makes you believe that what you believe is the truth, when in fact you have a lie. Look around. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Roman Catholicism, all these are false spirits. But they
That's
have
right.
one common denominator. The way you can actually discern a false spirit is the fact that they will always keep you earthbound and keep your affections on earth, and won't let your affections go into the heavenlies.
That's right.
The other thing that they'll do is they will also fight against sanctification and holiness.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, without which no man shall see the Lord.
That's
so
right.
Therefore, that false spirit is always trying to make you compromise. And a phrase is like, you know, it doesn't take all of that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't want to be so heavenly that I'm no earthly good and all this stuff. So you can't, it's impossible to be too heavenly.
Yeah, that's right.
You can be so earthly that you're no heavenly good, but you can't be so heavenly that you're no earthly good if you are actually conforming to Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. Because one thing about it, Brother Price, and what a lot of people don't understand, as you just said, you can't have too much Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, we're supposed to be so filled with the Spirit that the Spirit of God is it flows out over us and it affects other peoples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be, like the scripture says, there are many feelings. It's not just one feeling, but there are many feelings. You can be filled up with the Spirit, then you can be filled up with the Spirit more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you get into the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, because the Spirit of God is doing what he wants to do in your life, but he can only do that when you are filled with him. And many times in the scripture when they say, Peter did such and such, being filled with the Spirit.
Right.
You know, Paul being filled with the Spirit. Stephen being filled with the Spirit, and he said such and such, and he did such and such. And
right.
Signs and miracles and wonders followed them. But if you're to the point whereas you feel that you can get too much, well, see, you're cutting off the movement of the Spirit right then.
Yeah, and I always parallel the Holy Ghost journey with the same journey that the Israelites took coming out of Egypt. If you parallel Egypt, the wilderness, and the promised land with the spirit, the soul, and the body, you understand the mystery.
Yes.
When you come out of Egypt, you physically depart from the works of sin.
Yes.
Now, in the wilderness, you have to be washed clean from the effects of sin. That's a
Amen.
Big difference.
Amen.
The effects of sin had a mental effect on you, a physical effect on you,
yes.
actually a biological effect on you, in that sin actually gets into the DNA, chromosomes, and genetic makeup of man. That's how you get a blood-born inherited curse over your life, because the very genetic makeup of your bloodline has been affected and infected by sin.
That's right.
So you come through the wilderness, and it's all an inner journey into your own soul to actually be delivered from the effects of sin, mainly the demons, the eroding away of human character, immorality, evil thoughts. If you notice Jesus carefully, he said there is nothing from without a man that can defile a man.
That's
Every
right.
defiling element came from the inside. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, all these different effects that came from Egypt actually billow forth from the infrastructure of a man's heart. So
That's
you
right.
change the heart, and if you deliver a man, first of all, from the demons, and then you mortify your flesh, you progress forward in God, and you go deeper in the journey. And that process is called sanctification.
Amen.
And once you're sanctified, you arrive at the promised land, which in our generation is a land of promises, whereby we are, the Bible says in Peter, by these precious promises, we are made partakers of the divine nature. So we're after a nature. What's deluding most Christians? They are not being taught in church that it's a nature change. What most people do, they go to church and they start performing to the dictates of the pastor, who is actually cloaking as a master, and he's got you still in your soul doing the works of the slaves in Egypt, actually building pyramids and making mortar and stacking bricks for Pharaoh. It's the trick of the devil.
Yeah.
The Bible says, when the Son is set free, is free indeed, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This whole system of religion is anti-God and anti-Christ.
Wow. Yeah, you're correct about that. Well, like you said, Pastor Price, how many times have you heard preached in many churches sanctification and holiness? How many times have you?
Not very often. It is preached now in selected places. And we got to understand now, holiness is not self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness is not pride.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness is not wearing a particular uniform or a backwards collar. Holiness is the very character of God.
Amen.
So holiness is actually separating yourself from that which is defiled. You're not going to hang around and ingest Lil Wayne and Jay-Z and Beyonce and Nicki Minaj and Steve Harvey telling you to think like a man and all this other garbage and then attain to holiness. You got to leave the world behind.
Amen.
The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4, if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Then he says again in 1 John, chapter 2, he says, look, love not the world. Don't love the things in the world. Everything in this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they are all of the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof. But only those that do the will of God shall have eternal life and live forever. So the world is our enemy, and now we've drug it over here, and now we're cloaking the love of the world behind prosperity doctrines, inner healing, you got the guy now, Carlton Pearson, and inclusiveness. Carlton Pearson says everybody can go to heaven, homosexuals, adulterers, fornicators. God saved the whole world. That's a lie, birthed in hell.
Yes, it is.
And so somebody has to stand up, and I know you agree with this, and tell the truth in the midst of a bad situation under austere conditions. The truth, the Bible says, will make you free.
That's right.
So can we find vessels of truth? And the Bible says again in John that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive.
That's right.
They can't
receive it. No. They have a carnal mind.
Yeah. And see, we live in a fantasy-stricken matrix. We live in a spiritual matrix whereby the devil has set up basically an entertainment complex. We're living in Disney World. It entertains Christians. That's why we got young people trying to drag hip-hop into the church and justify saying you have to use hip-hop to reach the young. That's not true because I got saved when I was young and it didn't take rock and roll and hip-hop and soul to win me.
No, me either.
I had to repent of sin and come in. That's the way it is. You can't bring that over here. You cannot drag the dictates of the world into the church. It can't be done.
No. And when you do it, it's going to water down and weaken the body. That's what happens.
Yes.
That's exactly what happens. But, you know, in reference to the things that you just said, we realize that there's a lot of deception in the church. And we've been talking about that for a little while now. But you mentioned some things, but what's some of the other most common deceptions that you have seen in the church, the religious system that you know of? Just go through some of those various deceptions.
Well, you know, most of the time deception is actually centered around where the most spiritually prone people are. In other words, a lot of folks in, like, let's say, mainline churches, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, et cetera, they're not really a threat to the devil because they don't have the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost opens up the spiritual parameters of your life because now you're moving into a realm where you become a real threat to the devil.
So the
devil is an expert at creeping around and trying to infiltrate where the Holy Ghost is making inroads. So back in time, let's go back into the 80s, the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Deception began to creep in through men like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Charles Capp, all the guys that we know that came alive in the Word of Faith movement, Fred Price. They taught a delusion.
Okay.
A blessing in your mouth, the power of the tongue. They were actually teaching ancient mysticism and paganism.
Yeah.
Kenneth Hagin used to stress, if you say the wrong thing, you'll lose your healing. So then healing is no longer contingent on Christ. It's contingent on what you say. See, it's transferring the authority of God to the human. And it's actually latent. And human is related humanism being taught as the gospel. They were giving us the authority of the believer. Kenneth Copeland used to teach the force of faith. Like faith was a tool that you use to get what you want. Mm-hmm. You know how many people went down to the car lot naming and claiming that this brand new Mercedes-Benz was theirs, all behind that doctrine of you determine what you get by what you say.
Mm-hmm.
That's all garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's garbage. And it's nothing but Eastern mysticism cloaking as some type of new religious a manifestation, a new religious revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It was a trick. Okay, you come from that generation and birthed out the loins of Kenneth Copeland, you had Creflo Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Birthed out the loins of Kenneth Hagin, you got Fred Price.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to get guys like Leroy Thompson and Money Cometh to Me Now. See, all this stuff was rolling downhill because these guys found out that the human heart is this desperately wicked.
Yeah.
And if you taught people that you can get stuff by you using the Bible as it's basically using the Bible as a tool of divination to divine up spirits to bring you what you say. That's old mysticism, shamanism, and it's nothing more than occult activity. And that's why we call this book the Jesus Cult.
Mm-hmm.
Using the name of Jesus in order to get what we want, just like any high-level witch, any high-level sorcerer, any high-level warlock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just using the Bible. You know, I found out something from a lady that used to go to root workers and palm readers.
All right.
The first thing these people do when you go into the palm reader or the root worker is they pull out a Bible.
Yeah, they
use the Psalms and the Proverbs and things of that nature to work their spells because they know that the Bible is what most people trust in and they can believe it.
Okay.
So remember, the letter apart from the spirit killeth.
That's right.
The Bible, the written letter, has no power outside of the realm of the spirit.
That's right.
So the spirit must come upon the letter to give it actual life. The Bible says plainly, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life.
Mm-hmm.
So the main tool used by practitioners of the dark arts is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we see. We see that in the pulpit. Right here in Atlanta, you see a man like Eddie Long.
Mm-hmm.
Folks got to understand what he was doing. He was practicing high-level witchcraft.
All right.
The ingested semen of a young boy gives a warlock power. To eat and drink the semen of a young male child is what they use to impart power because they're captivating the soul of another man and using the soulless energy of that man to make them powerful. So if you set up under his preaching, you were seeing a master warlock at work divining upon the people mind control. That's why the people find it so hard to leave. See, this is real life stuff over here. This is not play over here.
Yeah, that's right. And it's despicable when you think about it. But I'm so glad that you brought that up because a lot of people think that God is answering their prayers and that God is giving them all these things. But the enemy, the devil, is a deceiver, and he hears what you say. And if he can go out there and bring you stuff and have you believing that God is doing this, then you're aptly deceived because you think that you have a connection with the true and living God when you really don't.
And you've received another spirit
after
having heard another gospel that actually manifested the other Jesus. It's a deception that's so deep that only true salvation, which comes by way of repentance from your sin. See, that's the filthy word in the present day church, repentance. Turning away from your sin. That's the avenue into real salvation. You must forsake your sin. First of all, God says, look, first of all, you must confess your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
That's right. The
cleansing process is the sanctification process. You can't deal with God with what Prince used to sing about, a dirty mind.
No.
You remember he made an album years ago, Dirty Mind, and all these nasty, filthy sexual connotations to the music he sang.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is here to cleanse our minds, Romans 12:1.
Yes.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Ephesians
Amen.
Chapter 4 tells you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Take off the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. It's all about your mind.
Yes.
You have to be renewed. And look at this phrase, Pastor Bobby.
Yeah.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What is
yes.
that? What is that? The spirit of your mind is an intangible part of you that's actually controlling your actions.
Yes.
What spirit are you of? Remember Jesus told his disciples when they wanted to kill some folks and call down fire on them, he says,
yeah.
you know not what spirit you are of.
That's right.
And see how do we trace the manifestation of God's spirit? He says you know them by their fruit.
That's
love,
right.
joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. And then he adds this, against such there is no law.
That's right.
You see, when you're led by the Spirit and full of the Spirit, you don't have to be under the law because the law of the Spirit governs us, according to Romans chapter 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which sets us free from the law of sin and death. Because
Amen.
The law couldn't accomplish it in that it was weak through our sinful flesh.
Because
the law was good. The Bible says the law was holy, good, it was after God. But the flesh, the flesh would undermine the law because flesh wants to do what it wants to do. And the apostle says, look, when the commandment came, the sin revived and I died. So
right.
it's just like your kid. You tell your kid, you can go into every room in your house except that one. And
yeah.
the only room they want to go in from that point on is the one you said not to go into.
That's right.
That's what the law does. It shows us we're exceedingly sinful and we're rebels by nature. We can't please God in the flesh because all we have is righteousness that's the level of filthy rags.
That's right.
We can't do anything. We're helpless aside
right.
from God's mercy and grace coming to save us.
That's right. That's
I didn't
right.
mean to get carried away, Pastor Bobby, but
no,
hey, this,
no.
right here, this particular area right here, I'm seeing what's happening to people. I'm seeing the bondage. I'm seeing what these renegade preachers are doing, and it makes me sick to my stomach. It really
yeah.
does.
Yeah, well, it should. It really should because it's against Christ. And not only is it against Christ, but it is hurting people and it's destroying people and it's actually turning people away from the true and living God. It's turning people away from the true, from Jesus Christ. It really is, because what happens when they promulgate this stuff and they tell people this stuff and it doesn't work or it binds them up and it messes up their mind and their hearts, they get discouraged in the Lord,
exactly.
and they turn away. You
I've
know.
Talked to so many people from World Changes over with Creflo Dollar, lost their house. Marriage is broken up because they believe that prosperity filth, and the husband or the wife was spending all the money in that church, giving all that money, and they lost their homes and lost cars, and marriage is on the rocks. See, they don't show you the destruction of that filth. All they do is just propagate this glamorous lifestyle, but they don't show you the high turnover rate and how many lives are being destroyed. You don't see that on TV. You just see the presentation of a TV show, and the place looks packed, but you don't understand, it's heavy turnover there. Everybody knows that anything that's going to be marketed, and when you're selling something, you have to have turnover because you need new customers.
Yeah.
And that's all you have there. You got a nothing but a high-level Ponzi scheme. That's all it is. And you
well,
find the people who are bound by it, they hate you when you say something about it.
Well, like you said, I mean, when a person is deceived and when a person is worshiping a man or a man's doctrines or a man's religion and they're not really following the Bible or studying the Bible or really worshiping God and Christ, then they would get mad at you.
Yeah.
It's
a personality cult. It's the spirit of Antichrist.
And that's sad. But I'm thankful to God that God has people on the earth that's going to just tell the truth. and put the word out there regardless of what they might get in return. Because the thing about the truth is the truth. And, you know, you either have to accept it or reject it. But
right.
It's still the truth. But a lie.
Another thing about the liberator, the truth shall make you free.
That's right. It'll make you free.
Mm-hmm. But you don't say a lie what now?
A lie is a destroyer, and a lie can be it can be brought out to be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change, but that truth, it's unchanging. The truth is the truth, and you're going to have to deal with it.
And it's eternal. It just
mm-hmm.
sits there like granite. He says, "I'm the Lord thy God. I change not."
That's right.
So, you know, it's like this modern-day presentation of homosexuality. In the Leviticus, God calls homosexuality an abomination.
Right.
I can't change that because of culture or because of tolerance or diversity or because you call me a homophobic. Hey, look, the Bible says it's an abomination. It's an abomination then. It's an abomination now. It'll be an abomination tomorrow. There's nothing we can do to change God's word. It is what it is.
That's true. It is what it is, and you cannot make wrong right.
You can't
do it now. You can make laws. You can say it's right. You know, you can get a lot of people together to do a bunch of stuff that's wrong. But I don't care how you say it or what kind of laws you make, it's still wrong. And if you keep doing it, you're going to reap what you sow. And it's going to be wrong, and it's going to eventually destroy you. Well, look at our history.
Yeah.
Look at our history. Look at all the great nations. Look at the Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, Rome, Greece, and every one of those nations were powerful at one time. They were world empires at one time. But when they started engaging in certain things, like just what you talked about. I just put in one big fancy word, immorality, which involved everything that's wrong sexually. They failed, and
they
great
failed
was
it.
Their fall, and nobody
right.
could raise them up because when God says something is wrong, it is wrong.
And it seems like we live in a culture now that's fighting to make wrong right. And see, this whole culture is bathed in imagery and TV shows and movies and music, etc. Just trying to convince people. You get people like Lady Gaga, bisexual, transgender, Nicki Minaj, again, that transgender spirit where they have an alter ego that's a man, and they shift roles and become a man and a woman and all this stuff is feeding into these young people's minds and is skewing their reality and making them accept the fact that they are two genders within the confines of one body. This is garbage. This is garbage. The Bible says male and female created he them.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to get away from the original creation of God. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the TV shows say. I don't care what Disney Channel says.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that way. And see, this is a fight we have in front of us as the church.
Yeah,
I see God calling out some people from amongst this maddening mess, filling them with the Holy Ghost, and sending us into the culture to proclaim truth. That's
Amen.
Like dropping an atomic bomb on Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
That's
what
right.
you're going to get, you're going to get a huge atomic explosion when the masses try to fight truth. See, the only question that remains for a true Christian is this. Do you have the intestinal fortitude to stand up under the rejection, the ostracism, and the hatred of a world gone mad? Are you really for real? Are you really sold out to the extent that you can stand in the midst of that fiery furnace beside the three Hebrew boys and refuse to bow to this culture and proclaim the truth? We're about to find out, Pastor Bobby, just where people stand.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. We're gonna find out exactly where people are, and you're gonna find out the strengths of people.
Right.
Because whatever God that they have in them, that they have the true Spirit of God in them, they have the Holy Ghost in them, they have the Word of God in them, that's what's going to come out when this press is applied. It's
right.
Just like when they press that olive. Well, when they press the olive, what comes out of the olive? Oil.
Mm-hmm.
So when the true children of God get pressed, what's going to come out of them? It's going to be the Holy Ghost, the Word of God.
That's right.
And that's what defeats and destroys the enemy, is the anointing that destroys the yoke.
Yeah, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So when that pressure is applied, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be worldly and not bathed in the wrong spirit and speak words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. You will begin to do what Peter did, curse Jesus to preserve your own life. See, pressure hadn't been applied to especially the American church, the church here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen the universal pressure of the evil one yet. We haven't seen what Satan will do when given carte blanche to do it.
So what's
in you? Have you spent time before the Lord? Have you been in fasting and prayer? Have you bathed your mind in spiritual things? Have you bathed your mind in praise and worship? Have you spent the hours necessary in prayer and fasting and ingesting the Word and digesting the Word and letting this thing take a hold of you? Because when pressure is applied, you will revert back to type and you will say what's in you. And the Bible said, and Jesus said this plainly, by your words, you will be justified.
That's
and
right.
By your words, you will be condemned.
That's right.
That's terrifying.
It is. But then again, you know, like you said, Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
That's right.
That's what he said. So, but now in this day and time, and like your book, like what you were reading in your book, the Jesus cult, that's what it's coming down to. What's the truth of your belief? You know, do you really believe in the Lord? Do you really trust in God? Do you really trust in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted his word? Have you received his words down in your heart? Do you believe the Bible? A lot of people read the Bible, but they don't believe it. It make them feel good. It's just like a lot of people go to church, but they just go there to go.
The only way that you're going to have a real sincere anchor that holds is you got to be experientially going through Jesus' first miracle. He changed water into wine.
Mm-hmm.
See, the word goes in as water to wash, to cleanse, to sanctify, to purify.
Mm-hmm.
But the transformation of the mind changes that water into wine.
Yes.
Water goes in to clean you. Wine flows out to actually refresh the nations.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost outflow, he says, out of the belly shall flow a river of living water. Living water is actually the water converted to wine. That's what makes it alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus said, I can't put new wine in an old wine vessel.
He's actually
working on the vessel to make us able to accommodate the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
See, a Christian whose mind is actually functionally a concrete mind cannot receive the abstract spirit. What do I mean by that? If your mind is actually governed by your five carnal senses, what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, you are a concrete thinker. You actually focus on the external seen world, and that leads and guides you. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight.
That's right.
The abstract mind is attuned to the Spirit of God, and the Bible says wherever the wind blows, wherever it listeth is the word to use, but it means wherever the wind blows, that's where you go. So concrete thinker cannot interact with an abstract thinker because one is led by the spirit and one is governed by the senses. The Bible calls them earthly, sensual, and finally governed by the demonic.
That's right.
So you have to allow the Holy Spirit to convert that water to wine and release you from the bondage of your own senses. If you're governed by your senses, you're already in deep water because they are going to deceive you every time. You know, and I know, how many times have you gotten into something that looked good, tasted good, smelled good, felt good, you know what I'm saying? It sounded good, But, man, at the end of the road, you had all kinds of hell breaking out in your life when you dealt with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The girl at the bar, the perfume was nice.
Mm-hmm.
The physical countenance was beautiful. Her words, the Bible says, dripped like honey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything was you touched her, she felt good. Her skin was soft and smooth and like
mm-hmm.
velvet.
Yeah.
And then you had the nerve to plant a kiss on her, and, man, that cherry lipstick she was wearing really tasted good. All five senses
mm-hmm.
bombarded by this beautiful girl. But little did you know, she was a house of horrors. The
mm-hmm.
Bible says she's a deep ditch and leads you down to the gates of hell.
That's
so,
right.
You know, you can be deceived by your senses, man. I'm telling
yeah.
you, we got to get so far away from our senses that we don't trust them at all.
That's right. Well, you know, the senses, like the scripture say, it can't get past the outward appearance of anything. There's no depth to it. Your senses,
yep.
That's how your senses is. There's no depth to your human senses. Nothing. There's nothing there. So you have to have the Spirit of God moving and operating in you and guiding you so you won't fall into all these traps, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, can see what we can't see.
Can see what we can't see. That's that abstract mind. The
mm-hmm.
men are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God.
That's
they're
right.
They're not led by your senses. They're led by the Spirit of God. And
Amen.
The reason why I bring it up, Pastor Bobby, is this. Mm-hmm. The whole Jesus cult realm, the whole system of religion that binds you
mm-hmm.
is built upon sensual things. That's
yeah.
why they market themselves with, you know, take Creflo, his
mm-hmm.
Rolls Royce,
mm-hmm.
his $2 million home, his
mm-hmm.
$2,000 suits, his Rolex
mm-hmm.
watches. His jets,
mm-hmm.
See, it's all about sensual things, what
yeah.
I have, how I can flex in front of you. It's the same thing they do with Jay-Z, Beyonce, Lil Wayne, the stars on TV, athletes, they all, you know, the shows like Pimp My Ride and Pimp My
mm-hmm.
House, and they're
mm-hmm.
always talking about bling, bling, and things that accommodate the flesh and the senses. That's
right.
What the Jesus cult makes hell. They fool around with your senses.
Mm-hmm.
T.D. Jakes has perfected sensual preaching. He
mm-hmm.
emotionally works you up. He gets you into an emotional frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
He appeals to your senses. People think that crowds sign off on the presence of the Holy Ghost, a big
mm-hmm.
church. But they're not after the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joel Osteen,
mm-hmm.
44,000 members. The guy hadn't said anything yet that matters. But the world believes that little soft-spoken, little boy stuff he's talking is the Spirit
mm-hmm.
of God. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't challenge you. It appeals to your senses. He
mm-hmm.
tells you every day is Friday. You have your best life now. You can't
mm-hmm.
have your best life now down in this snake pit. Your
no.
best life will be experienced when you leave here. But
That's
he's
right.
not preparing people for eternal life. He's making them settle in and be comfortable here. It's leading to lethargy, and it's leading to slothfulness, it's leading to laziness, and it's leading to the most crippling thing of all, complacency.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
It is. It is. You know, but Jesus said something very, well, everything that Jesus said was, I mean, you can live off his words, and that's what we do. But Jesus said, you'll know the tree by the fruit that it bears. And people are not looking at the fruit of a lot of people because they're just looking at the people and what you just said and what they have on. And
right.
it's a greed-based doctrine. I mean, they follow
right.
it. They follow it because they want what this guy have. And
that's
what
right.
they don't realize is the only thing that's happening is this guy is getting what you got. And you're not hardly ever going to get what he has because you're giving him what you have. But
that's right.
They're not seeing that because they're deceived and they're blind and they're greedy.
And that's how they're making hay. See, they're making hay
mm-hmm.
based on the sensual nature that's found
mm-hmm.
in the human race. The
mm-hmm.
human race wants to be something. Pride and ego is a prevalent thing in the human race.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they challenge you by telling you, if you'll just give to me, you can have what I have. And then they sit there in front of the people collecting all the tithe money. My question is this. If tithing and giving can make you rich, why don't you take all of your money and give it away to us? See, if he believed what he's saying, then he would be giving you his stuff and not taking yours. You see how stupid that is?
Yeah, but it is crazy. But if you, when you read the scripture, when you go back to the book of Acts and you find out through study how the church actually started, that's how they did it. And what did the Bible say? It said no one had lacked.
Right.
Because the people believed and they gave to people that didn't have. And
that's
everybody
right.
Benefited from that.
You didn't
read in the scripture in the Bible where Peter and Paul and the apostles were taking all those folks' money and going to their own house. They didn't do that. They took it and made it common among the brothers and the sisters. That's how the church began.
And they distributed them up. They said they had all things common so that
that's
no
right.
man lacked. And they went from house to house breaking bread and fellowshipping, and there was great peace and there was great joy around them because, see,
mm-hmm.
what we got right now is nothing more than a pimp-prostitute interaction. The preacher is nothing more than a pimp, and he sees
mm-hmm.
the congregation as nothing but prostitutes. You get up every morning, you commute to your job, you bring your money from your job, 10% of it to him, if he sits on his butt and does nothing and makes a living off of the people he's pimping. And
mm-hmm.
and I've seen this in my life. I was stationed in Miami, Florida, in the Air Force back in the late 1970s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't saved then, so me and a few buddies went to a club one night.
Mm-hmm.
And outside the club, two prostitutes were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was one prostitute said something bad about the other prostitute's pimp.
Mm-hmm.
And that prostitute almost beat the other one half to death because she had the audacity to say something derogatory about her pimp.
Mm.
But that's the same spirit that's on church people. You
mm.
try to point out to them that this guy is robbing you and pimping you, and they're ready to almost slit your throat because you would dare say something about their pimp pastor. When in
mm.
fact, you are being taken for a ride. They're using you. And every
mm-hmm.
pimp, you know the character traits, they
mm-hmm.
will suck the life out of a prostitute until she's a dried-up, old, used-up bag, throw
that's
her
right.
away and go and get another little 15-year-old girl and start the process all over again. That's all
that's right.
happening in these false churches.
That's, well, there's
it's
no
pitiful.
Love.
It's pitiful. It's no love.
No,
no
there's
love.
No, there's no, and you feel it.
That's right.
You feel it. And it's sad. But what I'm one thing I can say, and I'm glad that a lot of covers, and God is pulling a lot of covers off of these people that's offending God's folk and deceiving them. And, you know, Jesus says something about those people that do that. He says it's better that a millstone be tied around their necks and that they're cast off into the deepest part of the sea and drown than to offend God's people. Now, you know what offend means. Maybe some people don't know what offend means, but when Jesus talks about offending, he means causing people to turn away from God or to backslide,
mm-hmm.
to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what a lot of people are doing. They are a lot of people in head positions that are supposed to be drawing people to Christ. They're pushing people away from Christ with their lies and with their actions, and God is not pleased. God doesn't change. He doesn't change. The same way he was in the Old Testament for righteousness and how he destroyed evil people, he's the same way now. The only difference is that we are under grace by Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ, I'm listening.
And grace just buys you time. See, the
mm-hmm.
judgment will come upon you, but grace just buys you time.
a grace
period is a period of delay.
Mm-hmm.
See, I mean, that's what Jesus does. He stymies judgment by allowing grace to take hold of you. Now,
mm-hmm.
grace and mercy buys you time, but if you refuse to repent,
yeah.
like Herod did,
mm-hmm.
and Herod was struck by an angel and body worms ate him up because
that's
he
right.
would not stop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Simon the sorcerer, Elimaeus
right.
the sorcerer,
that's
these
right.
are all known in the New Testament supposed to be struck blind, and Ananias and Sapphira having to drop dead. So you can play and do despite to the spirit of grace, and you can actually offend the Holy Ghost to the degree that hey, God will move against you. So
that's
people
right.
are playing a very dangerous game. It's very, very dangerous down here to fool around with dealing with people's lives and their souls and trying to direct them away from God when God is our only hope. I mean, it's terrifying to watch it unfold.
Yeah, it is. And another thing that we want to bring up when we're talking about this Jesus cult and what we're talking about, it's amazing that here in America, many Americans, they don't have a problem with praying. They don't have a problem with going to church. Sometimes they read the Bible. But they do have a problem with repenting and turning away from what's destroying them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to do that. What they want to do, they want to go to church but still actively commit things that they know is wrong and not ever repent of it, never turn away from it. And that's the reason why we have what we have. That's the reason why we have churches where you have people with alternative lifestyles, you know, lesbians, homosexuals, and transgender people, that's pastors.
Right.
How are you going to have that? The scripture does not uphold that. It doesn't.
Wait, what I tell you, a very mainstream delusion, Pastor Button, that most people won't even touch. See, everybody can see that's in this thing. They can basically see the prosperity delusion and Roman Catholicism and idolatry and Hinduism and Buddhism, etc. But what they fail to see is a delusion like the one that Charles Stanley teaches. Calvinism, once saved, always saved. If you want to see a Trojan horse, Calvinism is the Trojan horse. Because once they tell you you're saved and you can never lose it, now you're just like James Bond. You're 007. You've got a license to sin. James Bond had a license to kill, and now you've got a license to sin because you can't lose it.
Yeah,
that's
well,
a delusion. It's a trick of the devil.
But
you
see,
who can read Hebrews 6:4 and understand that you can taste of the heavenly gift, the good word of God, the power of the world to come? And if that man should fall away, there remains no repentance for him. Can't you? Anybody can see that.
Yeah. But Jesus also said, now this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now that's what Jesus said. Now Jesus said that. Now, well, I mean, it's all through the Bible, the word of God.
Yep.
What God
and
he talked about
in Revelation, blotting out the name from the book of life. If the name can be blotted out, that means wrote it down and he can blot it back out again. I mean, this thing here is terrifying, the fact that that's mainline Baptist doctrine, once saved, always saved.
Well,
they will argue you to death over that thing.
Well, and that's true. That's true. Hold on for a minute. In a few minutes, I'm going to put the call in number out and see if we can get some brothers and sisters to call in. But then again, too, you know what we were looking at the other day, and what a lot of people should understand is that God is more concerned about our souls and our salvation than anything else on the face of the earth. Because God is a spirit, and anybody that's worshiped the Lord, got to worship him and in spirit and in truth. You can't worship the Lord in spirit and in truth if you're not saved, if you haven't repented, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't do it. You can't do it because you're carnal.
Look at that twofold cord. Spirit and in truth. You can't be in the wrong doctrine and in the wrong belief system and worship God, because you must worship him in your spirit as opposed to your flesh and your body and your soul, your spirit, with your spirit bathed in truth. So
that's
if you got a lie you're believing, it's going to short circuit any form of worship. It's adjusting to the system. You can't worship him in a lie. It won't work.
No, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work. And what happens is what you're talking about in your book. When you do that, the only thing you do is you attract foul spirits to you.
That's right.
You attract demons to you. They're going to come straight to you because you're in a lie.
That's right.
And you're lying.
You're going to end up bitter, mm-hmm. anxiety-stricken, depressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All kinds of sexual perverse spirits mm-hmm. will begin to deal with your mind and your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
All that comes with the package. When you get over there in the wrong doctrine and begin to interact in that lie,
mm-hmm.
and the Bible says they believe the lie, and
mm-hmm.
as in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because they believe a lie, God will send a strong delusion to cause them to believe that lie. That's terrifying, because they didn't take pleasure in the truth.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So my thing is, the truth is not anything that you can play with. The truth is not an option. The truth
is
absolutely necessary.
That's right. Pastor Price, we got a caller. I'm going to patch her in here. And we're going to see what she has to say.
Okay.
All right, caller, you're online. What's your question or thought?
Oh, well, I'm not a he. She is a he. I was just listening to your conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was kind of disturbed when you said that people have to. Is this not for those who believe in this particular religion and this particular God? Let's be, and the other gentleman mentioned something about truth,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not trying to persuade either one of you from
mm-hmm.
your belief. No, I'm sure you're not trying to persuade anyone else in their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, chronologically and historically, men created these gods. And you mentioned something about, I don't know, did you mention something about Romans or something? I think I heard the word Roman.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Rome had their gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Romans had their gods. The Greeks had theirs.
Mm-hmm.
The Syrians, the Babylonians, the Indians, they all had their own gods, and they rightfully mm-hmm. was supposed to do that. But now I hear more things today where people are reading, and they get their groups, and they say that everybody else is pagan, and they're damned and all those. That's not right to do, especially here in America, when the Constitution guarantees people the right to worship and believe as they want. It is the ultimate law.
Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, sir. Before I give my thoughts, but what we're dealing with exactly is religion. And you did say something there. You did say something. Many religions were made up by men, not so much by God.
Men made up gods.
But it's still religion. Just men made up gods, and then from the gods they have their religions. But religion is different than relationship and the true and living God, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the true and living God.
The Afrikaners said that, too, in South Africa. They got the Afrikaner Bible, and they said that their God is the true and living God. And actually, religions come out of culture, not the other way around. Even when you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls and you look at that of the Egyptians, they had cultural do's and don'ts in their community, how they celebrated their holidays, how they done their marriages, how they named their children, how they went to war, what they've done as far as feasts and festivals, and out of that they start creating, religion.
Well, see, now I'm going to allow Brother Price to come in and say some things, but I keep hearing what I'm hearing you say, Brother, is this, and it goes back to religion, and it goes back also to man. See what man does, Brother. What he does, the things he can't understand in reference to things outside of his carnal mind or things outside of the natural mind, what he can't understand, if he doesn't know the true and living God, what he'll do, he'll make up one. And
well,
that's what you have. But
the thing is, when you go back chronologically, now just think about it. You know what I mean by chronologically. In other words, your mother was born before you were, and her mother was born before her. The people that spoke about God first and saying that this is the one and true and so on and so on and so on. Why come what they said first, you know, in the history of mankind is not just as true as the people who have came on, and I guess you can say Johnny come lately and what they're saying.
Well, we're gonna address that.
Am I making myself clear?
You're making yourself clear,
and I'm trying
but
to be respectful of you too, sir.
I understand. I'm going to say something, then I'm going to allow Brother Price to speak. Now, one thing that I would have to say in reference to what you're saying is that when we talk about God and Jesus Christ, we have history backing up that. We have archaeology backing up that. We have some solid evidence and proofs of the things that the Bible say. They can go back and find it. So when you go to the Dead Sea Scrolls or when you go to the Bible, you can go back in history and actually see what the Bible was talking about. What the Bible is the Word of God, but it's not only the Word of God, it is historical. It can be proven. Now, I'm gonna stop with that, and I'm going to allow Brother Price to speak. Brother Price, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. First of all, I'd like to say I appreciate the fact that you're very respectable and very learned, and you're having a real logical discussion that's not bathed in a bunch of argument and stuff
oh,
like
yes,
that.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate that because, you know, it's time I fall that right now. but I think what Pastor Bobby is saying is very simple. What we got here and what we're facing is the difference between a man-made God and a God that made man. That's the difference. Now, here's what I'm saying. Either the Bible is true or it's a lie. And my thing, when I was born again, I had to know in an experiential way that this is true. Now, that means I had to have a personal interaction with a living being outside of the spectrum of my own mind and my own education and my own intellect. So here's the challenge. Would you be willing to go and say, okay, I'm listening to all these different indications, all these different stories, all these different religious takes on life. Okay, God, if you are real, and if Jesus Christ is your son and the savior of the world, show me. Would you be willing to do that?
Well, you know, really, to be truthful with you, and I spent 8 years doing field research over in that area, especially in Egypt from Cairo to the northern Sudan border. And you mentioned something about archaeology. It's not true what they say that these things is proven archaeologically. But in the Bible, God never said that Jesus was his son.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
I'm saying, will you personally go to God and have God prove to you that Jesus is his son? If God is alive and real, and if Jesus is his son, forget what we believe about it. If God is a living being like we say that he is, he should be able to show you in a tangible way that's undeniable that Jesus is alive in his son. If he's not real, he can't do it. If he is real, he will. That's what all I'm saying.
Well, what I'm saying, you know, when I read the Bible, even in the Bible itself, it says that Israel was Yah's son. It didn't say anything about Jesus.
My challenge to you is, I couldn't go with that, sir,
because I don't know how. How I'm going to be able to go to...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, just like I'm talking to you right now...
How would I be able to go to him?
If I'm talking to you and you're talking to me and I'm alive and you're alive...
Yes, sir.
I can actually come to your house right now, wherever you live, and I can drive up your driveway, get out the car, and ring your doorbell. Because I'm alive.
Correct.
If God is alive, he should be able to do the same thing. If he's a living being.
If he's a living being, yes.
Right. So, therefore, are you willing to take the chance and say, God,
if God was to come up and be able to do the things that they say that he can do supernaturally and so forth and so on, and that person was to be scrutinized and examined and all that to make sure that it's not any trickery or and so on, magic that's going on, then it would be very, very highly acceptable.
So then you would believe it.
I would believe what I see.
That's what I'm saying. You would believe it. If God could come through this veil of flesh, and if he could expose himself to you in a real way, where it's undeniable to you, whatever way, because God can get you whatever way you can understand and accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, would you be willing to step out of the comfort zone of knowledge, intellect, all of your research in the Middle East, all of your knowledge, because, I mean, you're an astute, learned man, and I'm not saying anything that's outside the realm of feasibility. If we're dealing with things such like if natural sciences, philosophy, we're dealing with physics and all the different sciences that can be proven, if God usurps all of these sciences and he created everything, he should be able to come and prove himself to you in a way that you can understand it. And if
right.
he can prove himself to you and prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm asking you, would you be willing to accept it?
Yeah, now, but here's the point. Now, which God are you talking about? Because as
no,
I said
no,
before,
no,
there's
no,
many.
Don't worry about all of that. I'm saying, can he prove to you in a real way who he is, and Jesus is his son? If he can do it, would you be willing to accept it?
Yeah, I would have to see the proof.
Okay, and then you would accept it, right?
It would be more favorable for me accepting him being who he say he is, but he has to prove it to me.
All right, would you be willing for us to pray for you for him to do it?
Well, I don't need any prayer, sir.
If he's not real and none of this matters anyway, me praying won't hurt you one way or the other.
No, you can pray if you want to. I can't stop a person from praying. That's your right to do that.
But I'm just saying, would you allow me to pray for you in this particular area?
I'm not going to ask you to pray, but I can't keep you from praying. I don't have any problem with you praying for whoever it is that you want to.
I'm just saying, would you sincerely allow me to pray that God will reveal himself to you?
Sir, you can do whatever that you want to in order to make this experiment work out.
Okay. What's your name?
My name is Pianchi.
All right, God, we come before you on behalf of Pianchi. And we ask you, God, in a realistic, supernatural way, to reveal the fact that you are God, that Jesus Christ is your Son and the Savior of the world, in a tangible way that's undeniable, that will lead him to see the truth of the Bible and the Word of God as we present it. Not God, we're not here to actually argue, not debate. This has been a very good conversation. It's been a very intellectual conversation, and I believe you're an intellectual God able to prove and show who you are, and we just dedicate him to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right. Amen. Brother Pianchi, we thank you for calling in.
Now, let me ask you something. Now, how will you know whether or not this worked or not? You expect me to come back?
Oh, yeah. Just call back. Brother Bob is always on the line.
Mm-hmm. And how soon you want me to report back? Once a week? Or how often are you on the line, Brother Bob?
Just hang loose.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing happens, you know we're a bunch of kooks. But if something
no,
does
I'm not
going to
say all of that.
if something does happen, you know.
I'm very sincere in what you're doing. Hey, I don't have any problem with it. But I'm exactly real about it.
Okay. Well, that's fine, Brother Pianchi, and I'm glad you called in. That was a pertinent conversation you had, and we're glad you called in. Continue
right.
to listen in, okay?
Good luck
Thanks.
To y'all and your family, okay?
Okay.
All right, you too. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See, that's what we're talking about. But as we were speaking, as I was bringing forth the Bible, the Word of God backs up itself. It backs up itself because God is real. God is real. Our Lord and Savior is real. And God and Christ, they're eternal. And we know they're eternal. Because we have felt them in our heart, and we have seen the evidence of his action. We have seen what he has done. But it's all through the Word. And one thing about the Word is a living book. It's not like other books that you can just read and discard, and they really have no real power in them other than the power of men. But God is all-powerful, and it's evident through his Word and through his Bible. And when you read his Word and you stand on his Word, it comes into fruition because it's a living book. Now, we have several scriptures in reference to the things of God. Psalm 22 and 7 says, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Now, Isaiah 42 and 1 says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Matthew 12 and 18 reads, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Matthew 17 and 5 reads, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now, I just read a few scriptures in that regard, but one thing about it, nothing can change the heart of a man. Like Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. Jeremiah said, who can know the heart? But God knows it. But God can also change it. And then again, we're talking about that the carnal mind is enmity to God because it can't know the things of God. But the Word of God tells us that our minds and our hearts can be changed when we accept the Lord as our Savior. Now, that's what the Scripture says. So when we talk about God and we talk about the Bible and we talk about things of the Spirit, what we are actually talking about is a change in the hearts of men and women by God and by Christ. Now, in relationship with God and Christ, if you notice, all these other religions, now, you might have some, you might have some, you know, it might be some kind of change that happens in that person's life through all these different religions, but that sin issue is never addressed through any religion other than God and Christ, which is really not a religion, but is a relationship, and that's what gets a lot of people. They look at religion, but they don't look at relationship, and that's what we're struggling with right now. Now, we have a particular individual. We have a CD, DVD from him. This man's name is David Hitt, and what he has done, he has proven some things in the physical realm and through quantum physics and mathematics and all these things that really brings out the Bible and God, and it talks about the different dimensions of God, and what a lot of us don't understand, that God is not in our dimension. As a matter of fact, God is a God that he's so powerful that he can create and do things and not even be in a dimension that he's creating. He can be completely outside of that and still be God. Now, how are you going to deal with that?
Well, you know, and I really appreciate the brother's demeanor and his whole attitude. And my thing is this, when he says that Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus is God, the Bible says verbatim God in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us.
Amen.
So it's calling them God verbatim. One, two, no man can come to God unless the Spirit first draw him.
That's right.
See, you can intellectualize and you can theorize and you can depend on intellect, but until the Holy Ghost comes to get you and reveal Christ to you.
That's right.
The Apostle Paul says the Holy Ghost has to reveal Christ not to him, but in him.
That's right.
So therefore, as long as you stay on the external examiner, see, a fruit inspector or any kind of inspector can look at the external of all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. So if you inspect religion, and if you inspect mm-hmm. history, and if you inspect different cultures,
mm-hmm.
you're not involved in actually being transformed and born again because
no.
you're inspecting life. You're not participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the prayer is, God, reveal yourself to these individuals to save their souls. And
mm-hmm.
salvation is contingent upon repentance from
yeah.
sin.
Like
that's
you right.
said, sin is the barometer. Sin is the litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior?
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't come to that point yet, then there's nothing we can tell you as far as getting you to believe this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Because it's just like you said, the whole thing has been about this inner man, what's going on inside of you, how are you going to deal with that? And that's what we're talking about. That's why we're talking about the Jesus cult now. But that's one of the reasons why the world is the way it is now, is because the inner man is troubled. And until you honestly get a relationship with God, you honestly accept the Lord as Savior, you're going to always have that trouble in your mind and in your heart. Because there's nothing that can handle or take care of that or destroy that thing but the Spirit of the Most High God.
That's right. Let's talk about something you just said too, Pastor Bobby. You said
mm-hmm.
God is outside of time and space. Now, that's very important
mm-hmm.
in that time and space are created entities. I used to be a weather forecaster in the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And, you know, and we deal with time and space parameters.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with
mm-hmm.
Atmospheric physics.
Mm-hmm.
And everything down here is based on time. In other words, and moving through space. If
mm-hmm.
I'm going to meet you at the destination at 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
my mind will automatically compute
mm-hmm.
how long it takes me to drive through a certain allotted amount of space in a
mm-hmm.
particular amount of time to get to
mm-hmm.
my destination, to be there on time.
That's right.
So therefore, this time and space continuum we live in
mm-hmm.
is basically like a bubble in the midst
yeah.
of eternity.
Yeah.
Time is going to end. It's like
mm-hmm.
sand in an hourglass. See,
yeah.
what I want to tell the brother really when we were talking to him is
mm-hmm.
you're dying as you're talking. See,
mm-hmm.
and the infrastructure of the inner man,
yeah.
that's going somewhere. When that flesh dry rots away in a grave,
mm-hmm.
it's going to release a spirit on the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going somewhere outside of time and space. You're a spirit.
Yeah.
And everything about salvation is contingent upon you being prepared for eternity where God is. God
That's
is
right.
a fourth dimensional being living outside of the confines of the 3D world.
That's
so
right.
The three dimensional world is engaged with our senses. But
That's
to
right.
get engaged to that fourth, you got to be spiritually attuned to the movement of God's spirit in that fourth dimensional world.
That's
and
right.
And without that veil being lifted and without that arena being breached, all you're going to have to discuss is parameters that's about science and
yeah.
experimentations and thesis and hypothesis
mm-hmm.
and all
yep.
these different things about history and culture
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
what different people believe. It's all within the confines of time and space and the three-dimensional world, and
mm-hmm.
that's going to just be a never-ending discussion about
that's
really
right.
nothing. Because
right.
I haven't seen anybody down here, whether it be Alexander Graham Bell, whether it be any astute, learned man, that hasn't died.
That's right.
They're dying. They're dead.
Right.
All that learning and all that intellect came to an end one day, but God is eternal, and he'll never end. So
well,
my thing is, let me
yep.
plug in the he that is everlasting and give up this down here.
Well, that's true. That's true, because Jesus said it. He said, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. But Jesus
mm-hmm.
said this, a wiser than Solomon is
here.
Mm-hmm. And it's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's right. Jesus Christ is wiser than Solomon. Of course, we have to realize that Solomon got his wisdom from who? From God.
That's right.
And when God gave Solomon a little bit of his wisdom, it didn't hurt the Lord at all. You know,
right.
it didn't take no brain power from the Lord when he gave Solomon some of the touch of his wisdom, and he became the wisest man that ever lived.
That's right.
But Jesus is wiser than Solomon because he came directly from God, and he is the Word of God. And his wisdom surpasses any man's wisdom on the face of the earth. But in order to get in contact with that wisdom, you have to accept him. If we don't accept the Lord, you're going to just keep going back and forth. And one of the apostles, I believe it was Paul, said we don't even need to get into any of that right there because it doesn't produce anything. It doesn't produce salvation, you know. You might look intelligent or sound intelligent, but it doesn't produce salvation. I mean, I'll say it like this. I'm sure you have knowledge. I have knowledge. But when you go to college, you can get you a PhD in whatever. You can get you a master's degree in whatever. You can get degrees. But none of those degrees is going to help you in reference to eternal life in Christ.
That's the point I'm making right there. That all that learned scholarship is useless when you're 6 feet under, and your spirit man is detached from your body, and you're out there now in eternity, and you don't have the Lord, and you found out you made a bad miscalculation and a bad mistake. You know a lot of stuff, but you don't know the man that can get you in.
Well,
terrifying.
But that's what we're talking about now. And see, and the sad thing about it, and what's the saddest thing about it, I would say, Brother Price, is you have people that's going to various churches every day that's supposed to be Bible-believing and supposed to be Christian or Christ-like churches or congregations, and they're still being led astray. They're still being led away from Christ instead of being turned to the Lord. And I'm thankful for your book, The Jesus Cult, and they're doing it in the name of Christ Jesus. And it's messing people up. It's messing people up. It really is. Because it's dealing with their minds and their hearts, and the Lord, he's not pleased. He's not pleased. And that's basically it. Well, I'm going to put this number out there again and see if we can get another caller to call in. All right, our call-in number is 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. You may call in Pastor Gary Price, the writer of the book, The Jesus Cult. We're talking about false Christ, antichrist, deception, the trickery and the tricks of the devil. And so you can call in at 323-375-0849, or you might have to put a 1 in front of that, 1-323-375-0849. We have 36 minutes left in the program. If you have a question, you can call in. All right. All right, Brother Price.
And let me also add, Pastor Bobby, that our book is available online at the website www.omegaministries.org.
Okay.
That's www.omegaministries.org, and you can get the Jesus Cult there. Along with, we had about 800 or 900 messages also cataloged, preached messages there. It's free to just download and listen to.
Okay, all right. Audience, you all heard that, so you can go to the website and get the information and listen to the various messages that Pastor Price has, and you'll truly be blessed by that. All right, praise God. All right, Brother Price, I wanted to talk to you about something. I was reading through your book there, and you had something in there in reference to Jezebel and Ahab. Could you bring that out a little bit?
Yeah, Pastor, that's basically the modern-day scourge on the earth. If you trace the Bible back to the Garden of Eden and the interaction between Adam and Eve and Satan, you find that what Satan did was come to the weaker vessel, the woman. I didn't say the weaker spirit. I didn't say a lower class citizen. But the vessel, the feminine vessel, is not as muscular and not as strong as the male. That's what the weaker vessel is. So before a lot of women hear me say that and they say, well, you're calling us a, you know, subpar or subclass.
No, I'm
just saying the vessel is weak. And the emotional makeup of a woman is different. She's more sensitive. She's more nurturing, et cetera. So the devil came to her and got into her head about you know, rebelling against God. She in turn went to Adam, and I think I have a chapter in the book called "What Happened to Adam." It's all about usurpation of authority. And so once Adam came up under the auspices and the dominion of Eve, the whole society was turned on its head.
Okay.
So if you trace it down through time, you'll find that you have Adam and Eve with that perverted system in place. Then you pick up Nimrod and Semiramis when he was building the Tower of Babel. Then you pick up Samson and Delilah, David and Bathsheba. You pick up Solomon with 1,000 women. You pick up Israel and the Midianite women. You pick up Jezebel and Ahab. Then you pick up Herod and Herodias. And it all comes to a culmination in Revelation when you find the woman is riding the beast. So what's that about? That's about a fallen system whereby the worship of the female form has taken authority over the male because it is lust and it's bound the man. So with a man bound, the Bible says you cannot destroy a house unless you first bind the strong man. The man is the strong man in the family. He should be the provider. He should look over his family. He should be the one in authority, having his children in subjection, and his wife should be there as a helpmeet in obedience and faithfulness to her to the husband. And in that system of God's design, which is found in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11, the head of God, of Christ is God, the head of the man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and in that system, children are in obedience. So Jezebel is a usurper. If you remember Jezebel in Kings, she came and took over Israel. She came and seized the throne and subjugated everybody to herself. She killed all of the prophets of God and bound the people under the worship of Ashtoreth and the worship of Baal. And so then you had that matriarchal system that had displaced the patriarchal system of God. You know, the word patriarch comes from the word pater in the Greek, which is the word for father. And God runs a patriarchal system. He is God, the father of spirits, not the mother of spirits. So with Jezebel in place, the Bible calls her two things. She was a witch and she was a whore. If you look at the culture and look at media presentations, i.e., all the different sinking stars and movie stars, they operate in witchcraft, and the divining tool for witchcraft is the actual whoredoms. They reflect themselves and put themselves forth as loose, naked women. I mean, it used to be back in the day, if you remember like I do, that you could get a Barbara Streisand or a Diana Ross or one of those type of singers. They could sing on, stand on the stage in an evening gown, and death through vocal ability can basically mesmerize an audience.
That's right.
But now the women have to strip down in their into their bra and panties and gyrate and thrust their hips and almost act like some type of possessed animalistic, I don't even know what you call it, in order to entertain. Now, if you're a singer, why do you have to do all this filthy, perverted trash along with the song in order to enthrall the people? It's because they divine through the sexual filth that they project, and they're witches operating in whoredoms and naturally to get the people mesmerized and enchanted and entranced with them. So the female body has always been the Jezebelian tool to mesmerize and captivate. What's the goal? It's the same goal you see played out in a strip joint or in a shape dance club. A naked girl up on stage, gyrating seductively before the men, incapacitating the men and making sure that their lusts keep them weak, and then the Jezebel spirit will rule because of abdication of authority. Remember Jesus, and what happened was Satan was accosting Jesus and asked Jesus to bow down and worship him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because all these kingdoms have been, and the word there in the Greek is very telling. All these kingdoms have been betrayed into my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam actually betrayed God and abdicated his dominion and gave it to Satan. Mm-hmm. So Satan rules through matriarchal, feminized systems.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a system like that, the men stay weak, they abandon their homes, they give the children over to destruction. Now, I think it's up to about 70% of all black kids are born out of wedlock. I'm thinking, I read the other day, I think it's 40 to 44% of all children are born out of wedlock of all races. It's because the man is now wanting to just play and watch sports and go to strip joints and drink liquor, and he doesn't want to be, first of all, a man, secondarily a husband, thirdly a father, and God forbid him wanting to be a man of God that serves God. So this thing under the Jezebel spirit has accosted the whole human race.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the boys acting like girls and the girls acting like boys until the degree that lesbianism is now running rampant even in the middle schools.
Yeah.
This thing is a plague. It's the plague of the Jezebel system.
Yeah, it is. And another thing, as you were speaking, Pastor Price, I thought about something I have been reading and studying, and it's this. The enemy, the devil, he hates families anyway. I mean, he hates that because it is an image of the of God. It's an image of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
You have the man, you have the wife, you have the children, and you have a strong family. The devil hates mankind, period, but he really hates families.
That's right.
He despises that. He wants to get in there and destroy that any way he can. Well, look at what he did with Adam and Eve.
That's right.
You know, he came in and he destroyed that. Well, they were in the image of God. He can't stand the image of God. He can't stand us. He can't stand families. And he's doing everything he can to destroy families any way he can. And the media, the music industry, as many times they are in league with him. And so that's why they do what they do. Just like you said, they have given themselves over to the devil, and they do anything, you know, for money or for a prestige or a power or whatever you want to call it. And they don't care.
They don't care. And that word again for family, patriarch.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the word patriarch, and without a father, there's not a family. The word family comes from the word father. The root and the anchor for a family is a father. That's why you have to get the strong man bound. The whole thing is to seduce the father, seduce the man, weaken him, and then allow homosexuals, lesbians, transgenders, and perverts to take over and now adopt the kids and raise them and have them believe that being a homosexual, a lesbian, a transgender is normal. And the devil, by abdication of the authority, now takes over and tells you that marrying two homosexuals is normal. Two lesbians being married is normal. Transgender people are normal. See, what he's doing is he's eradicating the definition of family by changing the roles of the participants. Male, there's no longer male or female.
Mm-hmm.
We're unisex now. We all use the same bathrooms. In the colleges, we all use the same showers. We sleep in the same dorms. There is no difference. You are both genders in one body, except the female part of you if you're a man, and except the male part of you if you're a woman. That's Satan 101.
Yeah.
That's Satan 101. That's his whole forte. If he can eradicate gender specifics, if he can get rid of gender, he can get rid of the image of God.
Well, if. But that can't be done, because when God created mankind, what did he do? He created them male and female.
Female, exactly.
That's what he did. That's how he created them, like that. Now, just like what you said, now you can have all kind of cosmetic surgery that you want to, but the end result, when you stand before the Lord, you will be whoever he created you.
That's right.
And that's how he's going to address you.
That's right.
So, you know.
Yeah, you can throw stuff on and cut stuff off and do all this stuff. You can plump stuff in and extract stuff out and try. Man, at the end of the day, you are going to be a man standing before the living God, giving account for the sins done in your mortal body. That's how it's going to be.
That's it. And that's a horrible deception by Satan. Because it's just like I was talking to a young man earlier today, and one thing about it, and what we mentioned earlier, you can't make wrong right, you can't make right wrong.
Yes, sir.
It's impossible. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say and do whatever you want to do, but the end result is if you're doing wrong, it's going to be wrong. It's just like these people that's on the news, and they go out and they do these horrible crimes, and when they get before the judge, they can't tell that judge, well, you know, I thought it was right. No, he said, well, you're going to get 10, 20 years. This is what I think is right. That's what the judge is telling them, you know.
That's right, that's right.
And that's how it is. But like you said, we're living in the last days.
Yeah,
we're living. It's getting to be just about as it was, and it may be now, as it was in the days of Noah, with a few exceptions. But the spirit that was going on at the time of Noah is still going on now, and is going on strong. But we're still going to have people that's going to stand up and tell the truth.
That's right.
Regardless.
God always has a ram in the bush, and he always has somebody who stands for him no matter what the conditions. And my thing is right now is we have to accept the hand we've been dealt.
Yeah.
I didn't have to be born now. You didn't either, but we're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
we're living right on the precipice of the appearance of the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt if we make it much further without a global government coming into existence. The economic systems are destroyed. Look, folks, don't be deceived. $16 trillion in debt. You can't get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
The jobs are not creating enough tax money to get you out of this. They're going to implode the economic systems. They're going to restructure it cashless. And they're going to head toward a mark in the right hand and the forehead to buy or sell. It's going to be a global economic system, a global government, a world religion.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will be ordered and structured by this new revived Roman system. The only difference is Rome will be a global community as opposed to just structured out of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And now as we move toward this thing, which we're moving toward it very rapidly because the economies have already been destroyed, all they're doing is they're just printing money and propping up a destroyed system. It's not even real. It's all voodoo. It's the matrix. It's nothing more than the sleight of hand and the tricks of the trade.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get out inwardly, get out of here and turn to the Lord with every fiber of your being. And let him prepare you for what's about to happen.
Amen.
This pre-tribulation rapture stuff, beware of it. Beware.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says that we will go through persecution. Read Matthew chapter 10. Read Matthew 24. Read the Bible for real.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be convinced by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins with this Left Behind stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know that you know that you know the Lord, and you've got to know that you have the inner makeup and the fortitude brought into you by the Holy Spirit to stand in austere conditions.
It is what
that's
it
fine.
Is, and we've got to really deal with it like it is.
Yes, that's true. Well, you know what, Pastor Price? What you just said is true, but see, the thing about it is this. Many times over in this country, we feel that because we're not going through anything, that no one else is going through anything. But what happens, what is actually going on, there's a bunch of brothers and sisters in the world. Man,
right.
they are being persecuted something fierce. I mean,
right.
they can't do what we're doing right now without fear of persecution and without fear of death, you see. It's all over the world. Just about the only place that's not happening in is America and maybe Canada and maybe over in Great Britain. But over there, you know, they have a level of persecution too. But everywhere else in the world, there's some severe persecution going on in the world.
That's right.
You know, so it's some tribulation going on. But Jesus told us to say, "You shall have tribulation."
And it's
he
coming
said, but
this
be
way.
Good
I mean,
cheer.
It's coming this way because
mm-hmm.
see, they're setting the stages and getting all the machinery in place
mm-hmm.
to force everybody to accept all these different perversions, mm-hmm. to accept sin. They want you to accept sin.
Mm-hmm.
And see, in a minute, the Christian in America was going to be the odd man out because they started
yeah,
the public
yeah.
school system to program the kids at a young age
mm-hmm.
to think along the lines of humanism.
Yeah.
They've out as he showed like Oprah. All
mm-hmm.
the different folk, that's a lot of brainwashing that's been taking place over the last 20 to 30 years.
That's right.
So now what's happening is we finally got to a generation, an older generation, it's actually been brainwashed. Those people that are 50 and 60 years old have brought into the lie. And so the younger generation don't have their only hope is God's divine intervention now. There's no
right.
way for you and me. The brother who just called a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
he is basically a, what you call, he's not evil in the sense
mm-hmm.
that we would define it. But what is happening is he's neutrally charged by life. It's just a bland, humanistic outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just studying life for life's sake. It doesn't have any real meaning.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said there's a difference between a God that made man and a man that made himself a God.
Mm-hmm.
See, if man makes a God, I can go outside right now and chop down a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Paint it up and make it like a totem pole and call it my God. That's a
yeah.
that's a man-made God.
Mm-hmm.
But if God made man, then I'm accountable to the Creator, and I must obey Him. See,
that's
the
right.
difference.
That's
I don't
right.
have to obey that tree in my front yard.
That's
but
right.
if God made me, and He tells me that, hey, everybody outside of my kingdom is going to be lost forever and suffer eternal damnation.
That's
I
right.
better start getting. I better start finding out what he's talking about and start changing.
That's right.
So
that's
the
right.
reason why people make gods for themselves is because they're escaping from the accountability and responsibility they have to a true and living God.
That's
all it is. A man-made
right.
God is just a mechanism of escape. That's all it is.
That's right. That's all it is. But then again, too, Pastor Price, a man-made God has. Well, for one thing, it really has no power. And the power that it does have is via demonic. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And devils and demons and Satan is not all-powerful. Now, that is proven by and through the Word of God. Remember Elijah.
Right.
And the 400 to 800 prophets of Baal. Now, they were out there calling on their gods that they worship. You know, to the point of dancing and cutting themselves almost to death, and nothing happened.
Mm.
He didn't show up. But
that's
when
right.
Elijah called on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, the I am that I am, something happened then.
Right.
Things happened. God answered Elijah's prayer and burnt up the entire sacrifice and sucked up the water that was around the sacrifice also. God answered by fire and power. the true and living God.
So therefore, we have the very central focus of the end time.
That's it.
What I believe is going to happen is this. We dealt with the Jesus cult tonight. We're talking about the false.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you and I can confront the false
mm-hmm.
is that God has to answer by fire.
Amen.
We have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 must come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming unto you with enticing words of man's wisdom.
That's right.
But I come to you with a demonstration of the Spirit and power.
Yeah.
That your faith will not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the demonstration of God's power. So
that's right.
Therefore, the trigger for the end time is not the Antichrist. It's
mm-hmm.
not the systems of this world. It's not world religion. The
mm-hmm.
trigger is the baptism of the New Testament end time church with a powerful display of God's Spirit in supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles that cannot be debated.
That's
and
right.
when you see the dead raised and eyes opened that are blind, when you see deaf ears unstopped, when you see AIDS burned out of somebody's flesh,
mm-hmm.
when you see deformed feet and arms restored that were blown off in Iraq, when
mm-hmm.
you see all these supernatural attestations to the truth of God's power,
mm-hmm.
then Satan will have no choice but to persecute us and try to eradicate us from the earth. And that's the trigger for the end time. We're going back down to Mount Carmel, and
mm-hmm.
we're going to see just who this God is, and only the God that answers by fire can actually really be believed to be the real God.
That's true. That's
so that's
true.
Why I asked the brother, okay, if God comes to visit you personally, and if he demonstrates himself to you, will you believe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
and his answer was, well, I would have no choice. Then, I mean, it'd be up to me then to be serious because he would have proved himself to me.
That's right.
As far as you can take it. I'm calling upon God now to come out of the shadows, come out from behind the curtain,
mm-hmm.
and let's just see who this God is. Enough
That's
talking
right.
and debating, Pastor Bible. We done talked ourselves into a coma in this generation.
Yeah.
These false prophets, all these guys preaching all this doctrine. The Bible says there are many voices coming into the world,
That's right.
None of them without significance. There are many spirits going out into the world.
That's right.
But it's got to be a final arbiter of truth that's presented down here, and it must be done with the truth backed up by the Spirit of truth to attest to the fact that you just told the truth.
That's the only
way we get out of here. I don't see any other way to do it because men's minds are too confused and bathed in religion and they got all this teaching, and they've been in an institution. They got PhDs and every other kind of degree you can name, and they're just prone to depend on their own carnal knowledge and intellect.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see God do something outside the realms of intellect and your knowledge and see if you can deal with a God that answers by fire. That's what we got to have out.
Well, and that's what's going to happen because we live in – it's time. I say it like this. We are living in the time – for that to happen. It's just like we were talking about times. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we were talking about times before. Now, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, that was the time. That was God's set time to do what he did in Egypt, to do all those great and wonderful signs and miracles, and he got them out of there. When Jesus came on the scene, it was the time. He brought the kingdom of God to earth, and he came to destroy the works of the enemy, make a way for our salvation. We're living in this time now where God, again, is going to show people that he is truly God because a lot of people is totally deceived. I mean, totally. And they're not going to really, well, they haven't seen anything. I mean, we have not hardly seen anything of signs, wonders, and miracles that are truly from God.
That's right.
You haven't seen very much of that. Now, you know, we'll cast out a devil from time to time, and you know, and stuff like that, and we'll pray for some sick people and stuff like that, and people will be delivered and set free and things of that nature. But you haven't seen things to the a category of when Jesus Christ walked to earth and when the apostles walked to earth.
And not only the apostles, but then you had deacons like Philip and Stephen with the same power. When a guy says, well, the miracles went out with the apostles, well, Philip and Stephen were not apostles.
No, they weren't.
Philip was an evangelist, and Stephen, and they never said anything when he was a deacon. So that undermines any discussion of the apostles being the last one to have the power.
Well, no. No. See, the thing about it, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, doesn't change. When the Holy Ghost came on the earth then, his power never diminished. The same things that he was doing then, he will do now.
Exactly.
He will do now. But he does it through vessels.
That's right.
Yeah, he does it through vessels. And if nobody wants to surrender themselves totally to the Spirit of God, well,
he can't move.
No, because
the Bible discusses, I think it calls us a vessel fit for the master to use.
So, and that's basically where we are. But I do believe that we're going to be seeing some things because people have to see the true Spirit of God moving because of all this deception out there, all these counterfeits out there, and all these false, lying spirits that's out there. People don't know what to believe because a lot of people are just lying to them outright. And then there are these false, foul, demonic spirits that's following these people and jumping on people and possessing them and oppressing them. So people have to see the true and living God.
They have to.
And the only way they will see that is through the power of God. The power of God. Notice I say the power of God, not men.
But you know what's going to happen then, Pastor Bob? All that's going to happen is this. When you, if you right now, if you were standing down on the corner of Peachtree and 10th, and undeniably a guy was down there and you, let's say he was a quadriplegic or he was a triple or double or amputee, and you grew his legs out standing at that corner. I tell you, it wouldn't take probably a week before Turner Field would be filled with the people coming to see you.
Yeah.
See, the miracles are a calling card. It's like a pronouncement of God is on the scene.
That's right.
People would come for the things of Christ and things of God to get healed and delivered, etc. But that's your opportunity now to present the gospel.
That's right.
See,
but
when you, like Benny Hinn just starts performing miracles, he ain't preached the word yet. See, it's not designed that the word piggybacks behind the miracle.
No.
The miracles follow the word.
That's right.
So if you're not telling the absolute truth and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, then what you're going to have is counterfeit demonic signs and wonders. That's
what you said. Yeah, and that's the difference. And that's why you got to have the word of God. You got to, the truth got to be there.
That's
what's happening. That's what's happening. The truth got to be there for the signs and wonders and miracles to be genuine. Now, back in the days of the apostles, you had a bunch of people that was doing this false stuff. But when the genuine came up, they left their false stuff.
They left.
It's the same way in Africa. Now, they and other countries outside of the United States that are involved in all types of witchcraft and hoodoo and voodoo and all this other kind of stuff, Santeria and all these demon cults. But when they come into the realization of God and Christ, and God puts their belief and their stuff just knocks it out the park, they see what is real.
That's right.
They see what is real, and they know that God is real, and they know that they were in something false because God proved it to them that he is real and he is life and he's the true and living God, and his power is all-powerful.
It was tangible because, you see, Simon the sorcerer, the Bible says he could see
that by the laying on of hands of the apostles, mm-hmm. the Holy Ghost was given. And he tried
That's
to
right.
buy the Holy Ghost. And he was a sorcerer. He had power. He had a following.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
here's what's going to happen. When these false religions and false preachers see the power on display,
mm-hmm.
their people will migrate away from the false to the real,
that's
and
right.
that's going to be the stimuli for the persecution of the real.
That's
see,
right.
the religious systems, i.e., the religious systems of the Pharisees and Sadducees go to Rome.
Well, hold on a minute, Pastor. We only have
okay.
about 4 minutes. We only have about 4 minutes left.
Okay.
It went quick. Mm-hmm. And I'd like
for
you to close us out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just going to say, let me say this real fast. The religious systems of the world go to Rome
mm-hmm.
to persecute and to crucify Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go to the political systems to actually come against the real church demonstrating the signs and wonders. That's the way
mm-hmm.
the end time will wrap up.
That's
so
right.
you want to close out with a word of prayer?
Go ahead, brother.
First of all, let me remind you, www.omegaministries.org for the Jesus Code book, and all of our tapes are there to pull down, and you can pull them down to your iPods or whatever, at no charge, if they're there for the listening pleasure of the people who
mm-hmm.
tune in. Heavenly Father, okay. in the name of Jesus right now, in Jesus' name, God, let these words that came forth tonight be used for edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers. I pray for the brother that called in, God, that you reveal yourself in a tangible way to lead him and guide him into all truth and to save him from this wicked and untaught, perverse generation. God, in Jesus' name, send the power of the Holy Ghost upon the church.
Amen.
Lift us up and empower us with supernatural signs and wonders. The Bible says, as they pray, that by the hand of the Holy Child Jesus, confirm our words with supernatural signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost so that the hearers will believe and be converted to you and come out of the world and be saved. God, in the name of Jesus,
yes.
please
yes,
manifest
Lord.
Your power on the church. Please ordain
yes,
the church to go forth and to deliver, heal, and set free. Please deliver us from evil. God,
yes.
have mercy on this generation. I pray for these young people. I pray for my own kids, the kids all around us that are bound by these wicked, perverse demon spirits. Satan, I bind you and your spirit.
Yes.
God, set us free. Deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name, do a work that will cause the ears of men to tingle around the world.
Amen.
And we dedicate it to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Price. This has been a wonderful program, and I know that people have been blessed by it because we're living in the last days. There's a whole bunch of, you know, false stuff going on, a lot of deception, and people need to be made aware of it, especially the children of the Most High God, because if we are deceived, then how are we going to help those that really need the Lord, you know?
But, you know, the Bible says God will arise and his
That's
enemies
right.
will be scattered. I got to believe that. You got to believe. We got to believe.
That's right. That's right. And I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Well, brother, I do. Well, Pastor Price, that about ends our program. And we already have visited your website, and we're going to go back and we're going to get some, listen to your DVDs and listen to your program.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do it. Let's see here. Yeah? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought what was that, the broadcast? What else? Hello? Hello? Pass it up.